never rests.
What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Palmer Times. We're from Dogs HQ. We're previewing Mississippi State, Georgia. The Bulldogs, formerly of the SEC West. Now I guess we call them Central Time Zone Bulldogs or Maroon Bulldogs. I've used both this week. I don't know what to say about them anymore. Bizarro Bulldogs, if you will, against Georgia. They're coming to Sanford Stadium for the second time since 2020. They're coming for the third time in the past 10 years, which is kind of unique. And they're not very good, Palmer. This Mississippi State Bulldogs team is just not quite there. Still, I think, reeling from, you know, the untimely death of Mike Leach and kind of how that, you know, put the program in where it was. And I'm with Lane Kiffin on this one. I miss the man. This matchup is one that Georgia – I mean, come on, man. They're favored by 34 points right now. So it's a pretty lopsided deal right now.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't a great Mississippi State team that came in 2020 and gave Georgia everything that they could handle. If I recall, that was a team that had, like, you know, was down to like 50 scholarship players for that game during that COVID season. Georgia.
Yeah, it was 40 something.
Like 3 yards in that game. JT Daniels threw for 401. And UGA emerged 31-24 victorious as they wore the black uniforms.
Black jerseys, yeah. So I completely forgot about those until, you know, somebody asked Kirby about it this week. And he talked about do the hokey pokey and all that stuff. And I thought that's pretty funny. But, yeah, this is a lopsided matchup and one that – listen, I mean – There is no doubt in my mind that there are a lot of questions in Bulldog Nation right now about this team. I mean, we see it every day, and I don't think you're going to answer them in one game unless you're playing Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Yep. But listen, there's no way to adequately state the importance of playing well on Saturday for Georgia and to kind of go in there, get everybody involved, get a score in place, get some young guys in, get some rest, get some guys healthy, and get ready for Texas next week because the Longhorns have quite a matchup this weekend on their hands with Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that one plays out. Obviously, you know, an emotional game for Texas, a rivalry game. That one is always, you know, regardless of how good those teams are looking coming into the game, that one always feels like it's closer. You know, and that it is a four-quarter war there in Dallas. And so I think that plays to Georgia's advantage here. But that, you know, by the same token, you can't take Mississippi State lightly. You know, I know Tennessee and Alabama lost last week and both their losses were on the road, but you can't take any team lightly in the SEC. Everybody's, you know, like Kirby says, those guys are on scholarship too. And they've been recruited to play SEC football, and there's some talented players over there. I mean, Kevin Coleman is one that it was a highly touted receiver coming out of high school. Went to Jackson State. Jake, you're muted.
Sorry, I was trying to interrupt you there. I you know, like I love to do. I wanted to say about Kevin Coleman. I love that high school film right there. I mean, that was his film coming out of high school was incredible.
And to the comments, you do not want me at right tackle. I played a little bit of right tackle there in high school, and that was a rough performance. So you do not want me at right tackle in this game.
Now, I'm not as humble as Palmer. If you guys want to shoot me out there at X receiver, I got it. I still got it. I've just got a knack for getting open.
Jake, should we talk about that? I mean, the Georgia.
We're going to. We're definitely going to get into it, and you can get into it right now because we need to get into before we do anything else. We got to get into our one thought to kind of kick off this show about this Georgia-Mississippi State game. We've talked about it some already. We've probably stepped on some of our takes because we're not very good at what we do. But at least being showmen, we're good at giving you information and being experts on Georgia football. We're just not very good at this, you know, whole like put our face on. I'm still getting used to seeing my face over here, and I don't know if I ever will. If I do, I'm probably going blind. But one thought. We stepped all over it already, but – What's hanging with you this week in this matchup with Georgia and Mississippi State?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see these Georgia receivers and how they respond. Obviously, the arrest of Colby Young on Tuesday, it's a big blow. You know, he was a guy that coming out of that Alabama game, you know, really coming into the bye week, coming out of the bye week, and after that Alabama game, I said, you know, hey, Georgia needs to get these guys more involved. Dylan Bell, Colby Young, Dylan Bell, Colby Young. And we saw both of them get more involved in that Alabama game. Colby was the targeted receiver on the last play of the game. That clearly shows confidence from Carson. We continue to see that this past week against Auburn. Dylan Bell was somebody that had a huge game against Alabama, and he's going to have some huge games as long as Colby Young is out. Arrested on Tuesday, suspended indefinitely. It's not a good deal. And until that is played out in legal matters, he's not going to be on the field for Georgia. That's where our expertise is. And so I think that, you know, we're better off to stick to that, you know, him being on the field versus not being on the field and all that, and the impact there. But I think that Georgia certainly is going to feel the impact of no Colby Young. So I'm interested to see these receivers, how they step up, how Dylan Bell adjusts to playing primarily at the X position. You know, it's a spot that he's played a good bit, but also the adjustments in the, you know, what kind of comes down the line as a result of him playing more there, London Humphrey's getting on the field more. Maybe we see some Sakovi White, Nitro Tuggle, the two freshmen. Nitro's a guy that is an X receiver, so maybe he's on the two deep there. London being a bigger, taller guy, not bigger in terms of weight, but he's tall. I mean, he is a good lanky guy, and so he could play that position. You know, he'll see the field more at that flanker spot where Dylan was playing some. You know, if they want to go five receivers like they've kind of been doing in the rotation, Anthony Evans might see some snaps, and that's welcome news to a lot of Georgia fans. So this isn't how they wanted to see this receiver room maybe see a little bit of a change, maybe get a little bit more athletic. But I think that, you know, it's certainly something that is going to be happening, and it's a change that Georgia will have to, you know, take full steam ahead.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. Listen, I'd want to ask you this. As an expert on Georgia football, I think our fans, I think the people who listen to us deserve this. What do you think? Colby Young, is he innocent or is he guilty? I'm totally joking. I'm not going to ask you to do that. I'm just messing with you. Probably shouldn't have me, but I just wanted to see if I could get a look on your face there. Obviously, we have no idea what's going on there, and that's going to play out. And amongst those who get to see all the details and understand all that. But, you know, we've had some good coverage for you over at Dogs HQ, kind of what's next for Georgia with that going on. Palmer kind of laid it out there for you. I tend to think, Palmer, that a five-man deal at receiver is likely, because when – London Humphreys had to miss the Alabama game, then Anthony Evans definitely was a part of the plan. I don't know how many
snaps. He played double digits.
He played double
digits. I guess it was like 17. Now, granted, there were a lot of offensive snaps in that game.
But, you know, you're talking a couple of targets there. I mean, you know, that wasn't insignificant at all. He definitely jumped into that rotation.
Yeah, no doubt. And it was double digits, because that was something that I wrote about in the Between the Hedges piece that we put up this morning. So would encourage y'all to go check that out. But yeah, he definitely saw, they played four receivers, double digit snaps against Clemson. London Humphreys was not one of those. That number grew to five against Kentucky with Humphreys coming into the mix. And then with him out, due to illness, it continued to be at five with Anthony Evans in there. And then, you know, with Humphreys rejoining, continued to be at five, but Anthony wasn't in there. So now, as Colby's not in there, are we going to continue to see five? If we do continue to see five, it's probably going to be Anthony Evans.
Yeah, I would say so too. And listen, Georgia's gotten Dylan Bell and Colby Young on the field a lot this season. They're going to mix and match those outside guys. Even Dominic Lovett's going to play some flanker and some 12 personnel and things like that. He's not always in the slot. They're a lot more versatile there. Now, one thing you do get to is outside of Cole Spear, as far as your reserves go, which Cole Spear's actually gotten a few meaningful snaps here and there, mainly as a blocker. But outside of Cole Spear, you're dealing with freshmen and transfers who haven't played a lot. And so they haven't played a lot, nor have they repped it for years in practice. So, you know, if you're looking for that guy right there probably with Anthony Evans. If you're looking for that sixth guy, and they're probably – is Spear and Evans probably battling it out for that fifth spot, especially with the injuries that Sakovi White's been dealing with, because he's probably one of the dudes that they're like, let's get this talent on the field and kind of maybe deal with some of the growing pains. My one thought, Palmer, and we've taken a lot of time for one thought here, but my one thought is watch out. I don't think Mississippi State's going to upset Georgia, and I think Georgia's going to beat up on Mississippi State. I really do. They're coming off a bye week to get healthy, 2 weeks to prepare, chance to kind of hunker down. They're coming off a bye with a moral victory as much as you could probably have one by hanging in there against Texas and kind of giving Texas some problems, maybe a little bit of confidence. I don't think Georgia right now is the kind of team – you know, I equate it to arm wrestling, right? Like they're not the you know, 340-pound trucker who rides down the road and squeezes tennis balls flat all day and can just, you know, overwhelm somebody, you know, from the jump, like you know, some of those guys do. They're not that kind of team right now. What they are is a very talented football team that will absolutely wear you down as the game goes on. And I do think that this game is one of those where Mississippi State might have some success early. Like this might be a little bit of something, you know, especially from what we've seen out of Georgia with slow starts. This might be 20 minutes of this team ain't going anywhere, and I'll be surprised if they don't lose six games and all that stuff. And listen, you have your overreactions if you want to. I'm going to call them overreactions, but I'm not going to judge you for them because it's an emotional game. You wouldn't be watching us if you didn't really care, but or listening to us. So that's my one quick thought right there, Palmer, is watch out because Mississippi State coming off a bye, coming off some confidence against Texas. Georgia's got Texas next week. We're seeing how the mental shell game is going on in college football with playing games after big games and playing games before big games. It's wild right now. And I think a lot of that has to do with transfer and leaning on, you know, young players and the longer season and coaches trying to figure it out. And it wouldn't surprise me if that game kind of falls under that, this looks weird umbrella.
Yeah. And you do have to wonder with Georgia playing the top ranked team next week, are they going to be, you know, is it going to be a look ahead situation? I don't think that it will be in terms of look ahead leading to a loss. I think that this team understands that they can't really afford that. If they want to reach their ultimate goals. But I wonder, you know, is it going to be a look ahead in terms of they're going to play it a little bit more vanilla? You know, I think the best scenario for Georgia, you jump out on top early and you cruise coast to victory. You know, maybe you get some of those guys that haven't seen the field all that much. Some reps, you know, Gunnar Stockton, Jaden Rashada, you know, at quarterback, Ryan Puglisi. You know, we talk about those receivers, Nitro Tuggle, Sakovi White, Michael Jackson, those guys that have played in just one game. You get them some reps. You get Nate Frazier more involved. You know, I think that's the best scenario. And that could also look like a very vanilla scenario in the second half. But, you know, I do wonder, is Georgia going to be, you know, maybe trying to hide something in the first half as well that leads to a little bit of a lackluster game?
Dylan Brooks makes a good point talking about Georgia's perimeter blocking and how bad it's been. Well, first of all, I'll get to the defensive side of this. He says they can't get off of perimeter blocks. I think they're doing okay with getting off of perimeter blocks. It's just a matter of getting multiple people to the football out there on the perimeter. And, you know, teams are throwing boo-koodles of eye candy at Georgia defensively right now, just trying to get – they know how fast Georgia is. And, listen, when you're fast like that, get them moving fast in the wrong direction, you can make some big things happen. And I think Georgia's kind of dealt with that a little bit. But the perimeter blocking, man, listen, I went back and I watched that Auburn game several times, and I looked at 84, Ben Jurasik, and I looked at Oscar Delp, and I looked at the receivers, and I thought that was by far – their best perimeter blocking game of the season. And I know how integral that is in terms of a run game extension and things like that. And so I definitely understand that, you know, folks want to see Georgia, you know, be better in those areas. And, you know, we'll see if they, you know, if they can get there. They certainly took a step forward against Auburn. Palmer, Prize Picks, promo code DOGS gets you $50 with any deposit of $5. Is that right?
Yeah, $50 on your first play of five, whether that hits or not. And we were close. We hit 2 weeks ago on our pick. We did not last week. We were just, I mean, Jake, we were sweating it out there in the press box a little bit.
We were.
We missed on the less for Peyton Thorne, Georgia getting up and Auburn having to throw that ball around a little bit hurt us. But there was a moment there where we felt pretty good about that, and we needed a Dylan Bell touchdown. And Jake, we kind of had a moment. You were like, Dylan Bell.
We did a little dap it up in the press box. We thought we might have one there, but Peyton Thorne just threw for a few too many yards.
But this week we've got to look for some dogs in the NFL. There's not a ton on Georgia up yet. Like we said, a little bit lesser of a game for Georgia this week. If you want to get involved and watch some of those other really fun games this weekend, Oregon, Ohio State at night, they've got Prize Picks has got you covered. It's a really fun way to play daily fantasy sports. Largest independently owned daily fantasy sports platform in America. One of the easiest and most exciting ways to play DFS. And if you're if it's just you against the numbers, you're not betting against anybody else. It's you and the numbers. So instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projection and watch the winnings roll in. We've had a really good time doing it. And so our play for this week, like I said, some dogs in the NFL. Jake, we were discussing this before the show. We like Brock Bowers to get into the end zone again. Brock Bowers' first career touchdown last weekend. And I think that he's got another one in him there. So we are taking more with the little goblin,
get a little juice on that red goblin right there. If it's green, it means you're kind of taking the lower stakes there. You're making a safer bet, but your chance to win is less. But then if you take the red one right there, which is what we did with Bowers, then your odds kind of go down to actually win it. It's a little tougher threshold to reach, but at the same time, you get more reward on the other end if it hits.
Yep. So we're doing that. We've got one rookie from one rookie to another, Ladd McConkey, 18 and a half yards for the longest reception. Jake thinks it's going to be more than that. We looked
well, at all he just has to have a reception of 18 and a half yards.
Correct.
Or more, right?
Yeah. Correct. And we were looking at, Ladd's last couple of games. He's only done that once this year, but it was in his most recent game. So we like him to do that. And then DeAndre Swift, Jake, you were taking a note on DeAndre Swift and his involvement in the passing game there for the Bears. He's been very involved. And so more than
and he's been over that number for four straight games. That's 16 and a half receiving yards. He's been over that number for four straight games. I like him to do it for a fifth because it looks like he's starting to kind of find his niche in that offense. He's touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. I think he's been, up around 80 total yards for the past couple weeks. I think that he's a guy that to kind of look for there in the daily fantasy world and a fun guy to bet on there for sure.
But one thing we are going to do this week, Jake, we're going to play the flex play. If it decreases our chances of a big payout, but if we just hit two like we did last week, we're going to get paid out instead of the power play where we must hit all three. So we are going to go with Brock Bowers, Ladd McConkey, DeAndre Swift. We really like those dogs in the NFL, and you can get involved on Prize Picks as well. Again, promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, gets you $50 on your first play of five. Really fun way to play, and you can get in on the action as well. So go to prizepicks.com and use promo code DAWGS for a guaranteed $50 once you play $5 in your lineup.
Awesome. We appreciate Prize Picks. They are awesome. Georgia, Mississippi State, the matchups. Palmer, what's your one key matchup for this game?
I'm going to go with those Georgia DBs against Kevin Coleman and an explosive passing attack for Mississippi State. Jeff Lebby in this offense, that is Mississippi State's defense has been bad. So I'm steering clear of talking about Georgia's offense against that defense. I think that there's a chance for them to really break out this week, but I do think that there is some potential for this Mississippi State offense. A downfield spread it out, passing attack, and it hasn't been perfect, but they can hit some shot plays. They can hit some explosives. And so I think that this is going to be a good test for Georgia. We've seen those DBs, playing off a little bit and the way that they kind of defended Alabama, You know, I don't think that this is an Alabama like passing attack. I don't think that Alabama or that Mississippi State has an Alabama like quarterback. But I do think that Michael Van Buren, a true freshman, has some juice to him. I think that he's got some juice and can make some plays on the edge, you know, with his legs. But I think that there's also a scheme here with Jeff Lebby in this offense that can get some receivers open. We mentioned Kevin Coleman a couple times already. He's a really, really, really talented receiver. And so that's going to be a challenge for these defensive backs. So it's not Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard, but it is a really good receiver and an explosive offense. And an offense with explosive capability, let's put it that way, that gets schemed open by a really, you know, a veteran. He's in his first year as a head coach, but he's been around the league as an offensive coordinator and been around the game as an offensive coordinator. So I'm watching these Georgia DBs and how they handle going up against that passing attack.
I like that one. I like that one a lot, especially when they've got the kind of receiver that can put together a big game against you. I think that is definitely something that you have to keep an eye on because, you know, I look back at that Kent State game a few years ago and Tez Walker and him making a couple of big plays. Cephas had a pretty decent game too, but it was really Tez Walker. He made one really big play in that game that actually had, I mean, you're looking at Kent State, I believe it was 32-22, sitting there going into the fourth quarter, 10 points down, Kent State in Athens. And, you know, that's what a big-time receiver can do for you. That's what a guy that can kind of beat coverage at all different levels against all different types of players can do for you. I'm looking at the offensive line versus defensive line matchup in Palmer. I'm about to just, like, get trippy here a little bit because I'm about to just coil this thing up. So Georgia has, you know, it has its detractors among its fan base because a lot of fans think, well, it's not as good as 2021 and they don't have a Jalen Carter. So they're not good on the defensive line. Georgia's still very, very good on the defensive line. And they haven't even been healthy. You know, they've got limited Mikel Williams. They're playing freshmen. They're playing youngsters. They're kind of piecing together. No Jordan Hall, very limited Warren Brinson until here recently. I mean, they're getting into the flow on the defensive line. But they have Mississippi State so overmatched up front. Mississippi State, 34 tackles for a loss through five games. But I go back to that bye week, and I mention a guy that you mentioned is Jeff Lebby. Great offensive coaches with extra time to prepare tend to find a way to kind of mitigate, and I love that. Like, that's one of my favorite things to look at is – I remember when Steve Spurrier was at South Carolina, had such a way, or even at Florida, had such a way of scheming up protections and giving his offense a chance, even when they were playing the Florida States or when at South Carolina, when they were just overmatched physically on the offensive line. And I'm wondering if Jeff Lebby can kind of make that, and even the playing field for Georgia on the road, especially after Kirby Smart calls out the fan base. And I'm sure they're going to want to kind of give him the friendly middle finger here on Saturday and be like, look what we can do. I'm interested to see if they actually do that or not. But I think with all those things considered, my matchup is kind of like Jeff Lebby and that offensive front against Glenn Schumann and Georgia's defensive front, blitz packages, all of that stuff is like, can Lebby scheme it up and hold the line long enough to stay in this game? Because I do think Georgia's going to break through and they're really talented up front. They're getting healthier on the defensive line. And I can't wait to kind of see, you know, where that goes. And speaking of defensive line, Georgia's got a couple of defensive front players coming into town this week. Elijah Griffin's coming in town for an official visit. Chase Linton, is coming down for an official visit. Jeremiah McLeod from Lee County over in Leesburg, a Florida commit, another defensive lineman coming into town. And you can see all these guys on NFHS. Sorry, I clicked two things at one time there. So it's time to check out the NFHS network. You can see games from across the country, every single state for the most part. All you got to do is go in there. You can search it. You can look for Georgia high school games. This is a subscription-based website, but you get everything. You get it all. You know, JV football, if you've got nieces, nephews, grandkids, whatever, playing in a different state or in a different city, odds are you can watch them on NFHS. You can clip out highlights. You can put together videos. I've done it. I've sent them to the Dawes HQ crew. I am all over NFHS every Friday night watching Georgia high school football, watching Georgia targets, watching Georgia potential Georgia targets. And listen, man, I love South Georgia football too, and I don't ever get a chance to watch it. So I get to kind of peek down there and see what's going on there. Palmer, tell them what the promo code is for this and what happens if they do, because I believe they get a little bit of a discount on that first month.
Yeah, Jake, you like testing me with this one. It's promo code DOGS25 for 25% off your first month. Like you said, Jake very much hasn't. Jake, there's your Atkinson County Rebels.
That's right, baby.
Right there. You got a chance to watch them this season yet?
Yes, I watched them a couple times, actually.
Well, you can watch them on NFHS Network take on Crawford County. Like you said, it's a really fun way to stay involved with high school sports across the country, not just in the state of Georgia. I've got a chance to watch a couple of my Tennessee teams, people that I know suiting up on Friday nights in Tennessee in the Volunteer State. And so NFHS Network, really, really great way to do that. Like I said, promo code DOGS25 for 25% off your first month.
Yeah, and listen, they're – all over this platform every week, there are players that are going to go on and play NFL football, and there are coaches. There are coaches who are going to go on and coach big-time football. One of them, obviously you got Mike McDonald over there coaching with us at Cedar Shoals High School, 15 years ago, and now he's the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. A lot of future stars here in this NFHS, and you're going to want to check them out for Georgia commitments, Georgia targets. And, hell, just because you love the game and you want to see kind of what's going on with it, this is a great place. I love NFHS for the California games. If I end up with a little bit of insomnia here on the weekend, or if there's a late night game going on and I'm hooked into it, I've got a California game going on somewhere, somehow, watching Modern Day, watching Mission Viejo. I'm watching somebody, and it's a lot of fun.
Jake Palmer, tired Pac-12 after dark, wired California high school football after dark.
Yeah, NFHS high school football.
NFHS after dark.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. In the state of California, Washington, doesn't matter. Go check it out. Predictions, Palmer, let's get these folks out of here on this fine Thursday and let them get on moving with their weekend. What do you think is going to happen in this game? You ain't got to give me a score.
Yeah, I don't know on a score yet. We'll have those official predictions on Friday. The line is big here. It's – last I checked, it was 33.5 in favor of Georgia. I don't know if I like the Georgia Bulldogs to cover that. Can't just say the Bulldogs to cover that this week. I don't think Georgia covers 33.5. I think it's a lot of points. I think that, like we said, this is a Mississippi State offense that has had some time to scheme some things up. They've been able to watch that tape against Alabama. They were able to watch that tape against Auburn. Kentucky, find some things that this defense maybe isn't as strong as they've been in the past. And so I do think Mississippi State's going to score. I do think that they're not going to be afraid of this test. They went on the road and played Texas and held their own against the Longhorns, top-ranked Longhorns. And so I don't think Georgia covers this. I do think they win pretty comfortably. That's just a lot of points. So, I think that we're going to get to see a little bit of some of those backups. I think that, as we'll look at it during the bye week here before too long, but redshirt report, this is one of those games that those guys that are, still trying to stay under four games. This is one of those games that I think that they'll be able to get in and play a little bit. So, I think that Georgia's going to win. I think they're going to win comfortably. I don't know that they're going to cover 33.5. You're muted. I know that was the best part of your prediction right there. That's where the winner really was in that quiet moment.
Yeah. I am so turned around on this game, because I look and I see Toledo hung 41 on Mississippi State, right? That was almost a month ago, though. This bye week's really kind of got me looking at this a little differently. One thing I will point to, Mississippi State, for an offense that has kind of struggled, they have done a wonderful job of taking care of the football. I mean, they've only thrown one interception this year. They don't give it away in the pass game, and that can sometimes make it tough to run the score up. But I'm going to pick Georgia to cover. I like Georgia 45-10 in this. I do think Mississippi State's going to move the ball, probably 300-plus total yards. I think they're probably going to score early. But I like Georgia to kind of right the ship, and I think this defense is probably the weakness of this team. You know, I don't think that's unfair to say. You know, they're giving up well over 30 points a game, almost 32 points a game. And I think that that's something, and they've done that primarily over the past four games. And the bye week's a good time to get it right, but I do think Georgia is kind of trending in the right direction on offense, and I expect them to at home kind of take over this. And I will take Georgia to cover. I like Georgia by 45-10.
Got some confidence there.
Yeah, I mean,
before we get out of here,
lack of confidence in Mississippi State's defense more than anything else.
And that's fair. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Georgia's going to be vanilla at all? Because knowing that you've got a road trip to Texas the next week?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that goes. You know, it's one of those things. You got a little visitor here. You know, it's one of those things where I feel like it's Georgia's in a tough spot here because, like I said, they've got that game next week. You know, like they do have, you know, kind of that look ahead deal that a lot of teams that maybe you wouldn't be dealing with in this situation if the schedule wasn't as packed as it is. So there's some factors kind of working against Georgia, but I do have confidence that it's going in the right direction. And I just think ultimately the rebuild that Mississippi State's undergoing, that Georgia's just going to be able to overtake them at some point in this game and dominate a certain portion of this game to the point that they're able to kind of move out and you know, get that lead. I mean, listen, I know it was game one, but I remember Georgia beating Clemson almost by this spread, 34-3. And Clemson's sure a pretty good looking football team right now. I mean, I think you really got some of the ones that are really down on Georgia football right now that would say, I'm glad we don't play Clemson again. They would probably beat us, which is kind of funny to see. But anyway, all right, folks, we will be back with you on game day after the game. Rusty Mansell and I will be here to talk to you on the Dogs HQ post-game show and the Georgia show. And then we'll be back again on Sunday. All next week, Texas. Palmer and I will be leaving Thursday to get out there. We'll be in Austin. We'll do some stuff from out there too. Can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. Y'all take it easy.